Yes, absolutely. Who are you guys pulling for in the Super Bowl this week?
No horses in this race, man.
I want to see Philadelphia win just because I don't like Tom Brady, but that's that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I got to say, I could never root for the Patriots. Sorry for you listeners who are Patriots fans. But it did become pretty hard to want the Eagles to win last week after what some of those crazy Eagles fans were doing.
Right. Right, yeah, no, the Eagles, they don't have very many class act fans. They should act like they've been there before, but they haven't, so they're kind of new territory here.
Let's not say they don't have very many class act fans, but those weren't the ones making the news anyway.
Yeah, no, that's right. A fact. I've got actually a lot of good friends that are Philadelphia Eagle fans that are great people. I'm just kidding around, for sure.
But no, it's got to be the Eagles for me.
Yeah, we all know that Brady's going to win.
Well, the Rams.
I hope he wins, and if he does, he retires. That would be one of my hopes that come out of this game.
He's never going to retire.
Right?
All right, guys, are you ready to hop into the show?
Yes,
Let's
indeed.
Do it.
All right, so today we got really two things going on. We have the news, because we did have some big news this week, and then our Stranger Stats segment, which we will get to after the news. So jumping right in here. First piece of news, huge trade, at least huge so far. Chiefs traded Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins for cornerback Kendall Fuller and a third-round pick. Four-year, $94 million deal, $71 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that's huge for Kirk Cousins. To me, Alex Smith just kind of put himself in the same situation he was in. I guess he didn't have as good, or he had better weapons in Kansas City, but I just don't really see him being an excellent starter next year. Like, I just don't see it happening with the weapons that he's surrounded with at this time.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not going to be what was he, top five? What was he, number three, you know, this year? You know, depending on your scoring format. I mean, he's definitely not going to do that. The guy's never really topped over, 23. You know, I don't have it on paper. In front of me here, but I think he's never been over 23. He's done that this year. He just looked like a different quarterback. You know, the quarterbacks do look better when they get older. I think it's going to be a better year than usual years for Alex Smith, but not as good as, you know, this one. You know, I mean, I like the options he has here. You know, if Chris Thompson could come back, Crowder, I think, you know, will be a nice option for him. Terrell Pryor is probably going to move on. And then Dotson, you know, I mean, the only thing with Dotson, you know, Alex Smith doesn't throw downfield much, so he's probably not going to be that relevant. So I'm looking for maybe Crowder and Thompson to be relevant here.
Yeah, Crowder for sure out of the slot.
Yeah.
He's
somebody that kind of excites me a little bit. I just don't really like Alex Smith's throwing style. I mean, he just couldn't get it done with the weapons that he had there. I have a tough time thinking he'll be able to do much better in Washington.
Well, he did get it done with what he had there in fantasy. I mean, fantasy wise, I mean, he didn't really fail you. You know, you were able to start him pretty much every week. You know, he might, you know, have gave you like a 12-point, you know, game every, you know, once or twice. But other than that, every quarterback does that. He was really good. I mean, he won you a lot of weeks, probably got you to the playoffs, and didn't hurt you in the playoffs.
I'll say he was great for about the first 7 weeks, and then he took a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he was still usable, is what I'm saying. You know, like, you still use them, and he didn't completely crap you if you had other options that helped your team win. You know?
Yeah, but I think at that point, with what he had been doing, you felt like you had to stick with him.
Right, 100%, 100%. I know I felt like that on a bunch of teams, and it just kind of felt it was tough to go away from, and especially, you know, how quarterbacks are every year, and it was a really rough year this year for quarterbacks. I mean, we had Luck go down. I mean, Luck didn't even start a game. Rodgers, you know, Drew Brees was, you know, I was really down on Drew Brees this season. I know some people were, you know, thought he was fine, but I don't really think he was what you wanted when you started. You know, it just wasn't that many guys that just did what you wanted. And even when they got you there, they failed you, like Russell Wilson, you know. Like, you had to start Blake Bortles to win your championship, you know. Garoppolo, you know, to win your championship this year. You know, Alex Smith, you know, gave you 20. Ben Roethlisberger gave you 20. It was a rough year for quarterback.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, we also lost Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Marcus Mariota was injured for a game or two in there, at least. And yeah, not great. So a couple more things here. So Patrick Mahomes, do you think anyone on the Chiefs really takes a hit, or Kelce Hill? I'm assuming Hunt is going to maybe be even better because they'll want to take some of the load off of a rookie, or the rookie quarterback anyway. But Hill and Kelce, what do you think?
Yeah, I still like Kelce just because he's so damn good at football. I think he's a guy that you can really depend on through any old stretch. I think he's just so good at football. So Kelce, I think, is good. Tyreek Hill kind of scares me a little bit.
Who would you take, Kelce or Ertz, next season in the draft?
I think I'd take Ertz.
Yeah, I think Ertz as well. I'm not too worried about Hill. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But let me stress something when I say that. I feel like Kelce would still be a great – I think he'll be the better tight end. I just don't like the price that you have to pay for Kelce, and you might have to pay that same thing for Ertz next year. But I still feel like even though he came out as such a high tight end, I honestly feel like his draft value isn't going to be where it needs to be next year.
Yeah.
Talking about Ertz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's just a sure thing right now, I think, given, you know, the – you know, all the options is moving on that team right now, you know, coordinators, all that stuff, coaches. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do next year. I think Mahomes, I mean, week 17 looked fine. I mean, he threw the ball, you know, to Albert Wilson. You know, he had 10 receptions for like 147 yards, you know, no touchdown. But, I mean, very Tyreek Hill-esque. He had 24 points in the PPR. I think that helps you.
Albert Wilson, fifth round draft pick next season.
Sleeper year at first.
Yeah. Speaking of Kirk Cousins, I wrote down some stuff here in the show notes, some teams who I thought he could go to: Browns, Bills, Cardinals, Vikings, and Jets. The Browns, once again, they don't know what they're doing at quarterback. So I think he could fit in there. The Bills don't seem to like Tyrod. The Cardinals are going to have to move on. Drew Stanton's not the answer. I believe all three Vikings quarterbacks are free agents, aren't they?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. And then the Jets as well.
Yeah. You know what? I actually kind of – another team that I think you didn't include right there is the Broncos. I think the Broncos are highly in the mix.
Right.
I think you can see him becoming a Bronco just as easy as any of the rest of these teams as well.
That's true. All right, next piece of news. Rob Gronkowski is hopeful to pass the concussion protocol. This was as of Wednesday, but he's been practicing in full, so it's looking like he's going to play. I'm not sure there's much news there.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Blake Bortles underwent surgery on his right wrist, injury that kept him on the injury report all season this year, and he's been dealing with it since December of 2016. They elected to avoid surgery last year, but decided that he was going to have it this offseason.
You know what? When I thought about this news, when I read this piece of news today, I kind of chuckled to myself because you have Tom Brady out there. You know, I'm not trying to throw shade, but shade's going to be. It's going to be thrown. Tom Brady's out there with his glove on. You know, he's got his stitches. And, you know, I mean, Blake Bortles out there with what? He needs surgery? Not talking about nothing. You know, not going out there saying, you know, I would have won the game if, you know, he didn't go out there making any excuses for himself. And, you know, I mean, that game could have just went just as well to the Jags' way, and he would have had, you know, kind of, excuse kind of handed out, you know, already in there. So I kind of thought that, you know, a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's that big of a deal. If he was able to play through it all season, then I don't really know if the surgery is going to set him back too far. So I think he'll be just fine.
No, yeah, I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah, no. Darren Sproles leaning towards coming back for the 2018 season.
Okay.
Yeah, exciting, I guess.
Yes,
is he a free agent or
a game or two?
Is he a free agent?
I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
So, is there anywhere that you think he could possibly go? Age 34, 4 foot six.
I mean, who needs a backup the most? You know, I mean, that's a tough one. I don't see him being a significant factor on many teams, though.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What, Seattle maybe could use him as a passing down back? I mean, they never were able to get, the other back that was, you know, that they had that was, you know, pretty hyped up. Can't even think of his name right now. But the other back that we were really hyped
JD McKissick.
On. No, not even McKissick. The help me out, guys. What's the other back's name? He was a running back and a wide receiver coming out of college. He had a lot of hype around him. Just never could, stay healthy. But was always like, whenever he was coming around healthy, like, oh, he's going to take the backfield.
You're talking about Mike Davis?
Sorry, ProSize.
Oh, ProSize. Okay. Oh. Yeah, I'm looking at the depth chart here right now, and ProSize isn't on there.
Oh, wow. So what, did they release him?
Maybe they just didn't have him on there for the last game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because the depth chart shows Mike Davis, Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy, J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, no, he was on IR.
Yeah, that's right. Moving on, so some exciting news. Ian Rappaport reported that Andrew Luck, with that shoulder injury, is very close to resuming a throwing routine, which is about damn time.
How excited are you about this?
Oh, man, I'm pumped.
Gotta be.
Tell me I don't have to watch Jacoby Brissett next season. Woo!
Hey, I mean, he was fine in his stead, you know.
The Colts won 3 games. He was not fine. No, it's not like he's the solution. And I've heard Max come on and talk about how they need to trade Andrew Luck and build off Brissett. Brissett sucked.
Oh, God.
He lost probably 7 or 8 of those games. The Colts had the lead in the fourth quarter in nearly 10 games and lost it in all of those.
Well, the defense, I mean, didn't really help you there as well. So I mean,
no, the defense certainly didn't, but Brissett was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely wasn't great, but I mean, I think he could have been much worse. I think I expected, him to do worse, actually.
I think first year, not expecting to start, I think he did pretty good.
Yeah, I thought he did, you obviously had higher expectations first, from coming into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as a Colts fan, you always have high expectations going into the season because they've been historically good for the better part of 20 straight years. But yeah, it was just rough. It was hard to watch, certainly. ESPN's Mike Wells believes that Saquon Barkley, Penn State running back, could be available for the third pick for the Colts. I don't want to see them take him, personally. I think they have plenty of other positions that they need to address.
Yeah, they have a lot of issues on that team. They're going to be in a rebuild process, I think, for a little bit of time until you see maybe Andrew Luck start getting more involved. I'm still not sure he's going to play next year, the beginning of it anyways. I mean, maybe he'll be ready to play preseason, but I don't know. And then once you say that, then, the expectation of re-injury of his throwing arm, I mean, man, there's a lot of stuff that kind of scares me about Andrew Luck and the future of that Indianapolis Colts offense.
Ryan, after last season, I'm not even going to begin to try to act like I know when he's going to be back.
Right.
Another piece of Colts news. Adam Schefter confirmed that the Colts are going to hire Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels as their next head coach, which I can say anybody is better than Pagano. So I'm totally okay with this.
Yeah.
You haven't had him as your head coach yet.
Yeah, but he has to have learned since being in Denver.
I'd hope so, but you might see Andrew Luck leave on bad terms, like within the first few weeks of him being there.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Just saying. That's what he did with Jay Cutler, if you remember right. He got there and made Jay Cutler all mad, and he said, I'm out of here, and went to Chicago.
What, did he say, Jay, you can't smoke inside your helmet during practice anymore?
He actually entertained a trade is all he did. He entertained a trade that involved Jay Cutler, and that's what made him mad. And then he said, I want traded now. And so they traded
I'm
him
mad that
Kyle
you're trying
Orton.
To try to trade him.
Right.
Chris is like, I'm totally kidding, and you're explaining everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't make this shit up, right?
All right, last two pieces of fairly insignificant news. The Cardinals are expected to release Adrian Peterson this offseason, and the Jaguars are probably going to release Chris Ivory as well. Not a whole lot of fantasy relevance there, just some news.
Yeah, they probably just release him, then re-sign him again. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Very true.
Yep, it seems like the situation is queued up for that.
Yeah, it's what they do every year with him. Well, I mean, it's not even with it's not every year with him. It's with every team. He goes to every team, and the same thing happens. He's signed and then released. You know, like, and I don't know. Like he has potential. I think he should be traded. I mean, because he has potential. I mean, he's always had potential, but I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Because he's always had it, he's never really done much.
Yeah, potential, but can't reach it.
Right, exactly.
We're still talking about Ivory, right?
Right.
Yeah, he had a pretty good season with the Jets a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fairly good fantasy season, anyway.
Yeah.
He's a good, solid back when he gets to be on the field. He's one of those players where I really don't understand why you don't see a lot more of him. I mean, I guess because you have Leonard Fournette there, but I think Chris Ivory is better than T.J. Yeldon, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's why I say. It would be nice to see him have a shot somewhere because I think he's still talented enough to have a shot. But, you know, it's nice to have that.
And now it is time for one of my personal favorite segments, since I love fantasy football trivia. Segment that we did a couple times last offseason, and it was great. Jake Seeley, great guest, friend of the show. He's been on a couple times, was on for one of these and did well. So I want to see how you guys do with these stats. What we're going to be doing here is having a little competition, Dirty Jobs versus The Prophet. I've got 14 stats here. I'm going to read the stat, and then you have to tell me which player it was.
I believe I'm undefeated in versus who situations.
Are you?
I think so. Actually, I think you whooped me in Jeopardy, but I still contend that was it Alex Smith is a question.
Well, we all know, you know, given, you know, that Nick is very strong with his rules, and I appreciate him to be so stern with them. You did not get the points. And I was bored. So you're going down right now.
All right, let's jump right in here. So I've got this broken down by position. So we're going to start with running backs. And I want to give you a heads up that these stats are for PPR scoring. Okay, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Question number one. This running back finished as an RB1 in PPR scoring this year. He was an RB2 last season. But he rushed for fewer yards this year than he did last season. RB2 last year, ran for fewer yards, and finishes an RB1.
I'm going to say Jordan Howard.
Carlos Hyde,
okay.
Carlos Hyde, yeah, finished as an RB1. I believe it was the RB9 in, nope, 8 in PPR scoring. 59 catches.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was all with the other quarterback, Bethard, and the other guy they had there. As soon as Garoppolo took over, he really didn't pass to him as much and check down to him. So I'm a little worried about that if they do bring him back. I'd like to see them feature him a little bit more in the passing game.
When did Garoppolo get there?
I don't have it off.
Week 11, I believe, is when he got there, and I believe he started in week 13.
Week 11 was their bye. Week 12 was against Seattle. Week 13 was at Chicago. But either way, from week 13 on, 3 catches, 0 catches, 2-3-2. So, yeah, still all around, though, great season for Carlos Hyde. And I feel like he very quietly finished as an RB1. I didn't expect it.
No, no one did. But he had great, great value coming into the season. And that's the only thing that made me on Carlos Hyde. Because I actually had him on a few teams, but I would... so down on him, but I just don't draft running back heavy. I never do. So, like, he just ended up on a bunch of my teams.
Absolutely. Oh, well, speaking of how we draft, I'm going to take a quick detour here from Stranger Stats. One thing that I have come around to, and that is the Hoos tight end mind thought.
The love of the tight end.
Yes, and it's just after how bad tight ends were this season, I do not want to stream. I want an elite tight end. Not, I don't want to spend a first-round pick on Gronk, but I want a good tight end, and then I want a good backup tight end. Streaming, terrible.
I think you could still get away with it. It is not the greatest. I mean, it's most likely not going to win you weeks, right?
Right. You can get away with it, but you got to know that you're kind of punting that position a little bit.
Right. And it's definitely not going to win you weeks, you know, unless you just knock it out of the park with a guy and then you're not streaming him anymore.
You streamed Mercedes Lewis's 3 touchdowns or something like that.
You know, I mean, you were able to stream Derrick Henry for some weeks, but then he dudded you some weeks. So, you know, like, it was tough. You know, it was tough streaming tight ends. I don't know if I'm going to go away from it because I've done so well with it year after year, and I think I could still get a George Kittle next year. That'll be good. I think I could still get a Tyler Kroft next year. That'll be good. Adam Shaheen. I think I could grab all these guys and still, you know, find a guy that's probably going to be a top 10 guy and, you know, might be sneaky. And you know, so even Ebron, you know, these are guys that aren't highly coveted, you know, Jordan Reed, no one wants to draft him, but he might fall. We all know if he's healthy, he's another guy. So tight ends, I don't really like to draft too high. You know, I'd like to grab one kind of.
Well, right. I just want to point this out. In PPR, the difference between the tight end 1 and the tight end 12 was 101 points for the season.
Wow.
That's big.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yes. that is a very big difference. And even between the number 3 and number 4, Ertz was number 3 with 202.4. Delanie Walker was number 4 with 174. So almost 30 points fewer just between the 3rd and the 4th. And it would have been even more if Ertz had played all 16.
Right.
It's like those top 3, man. Anyways, let's go ahead and get back to the show. That just made me think of that, and this is the first time I've been on a show with you, Hoos, since I thought about
that. Yeah, in a while. It's
absolutely. It's good to hear your guys' voice again. All right, let's get to question number 2. This running back finished with the 5th most carries, 6th most rushing yards, and 3rd most touchdowns, but finished as an RB2.
I was going to say Melvin Gordon. I don't know.
Say that one more time.
5th most carries, 6th most rushing yards, 3rd most touchdowns, finished as an RB2.
Can't be Melvin Gordon with the 6th most rushing yards.
Well, and Melvin was an RB1.
Oh, okay.
DeMarco Murray?
Got DeMarco Murray. Hoos?
Mark Ingram?
Wrong on both. It was Jordan Howard. The RB15.
Wow.
The RB15. Yeah. 0-2, guys.
Happened it, man. Doing out here.
Well, these are very strange stats. I thought Howard for sure finished an RB1.
Yeah, these are stats that you would not think that these players would have.
Right.
That's the name of that's hence the name of the segment, which is pretty cool. All right, so 0-2 for both of you guys. So neck and neck. Number 3, how many running backs this season ran for 1,000 yards?
I'm going to say 4.
I was also going to say 4, but since he said that, I'll say 5.
4 and 5? It is 9.
Wow.
Wow.
And it would have been 10 if Zeke had been playing, because Zeke had, I think, 983 rushing yards. So it would have been 10. Yeah.
Wow. That's mind-blowing.
Right. Yeah.
It never happens, right? Or am I wrong about that? Or is that just a surprising stat every year? I feel like we don't have 9 running backs that get over 1,000 yards.
Well, I looked this up. 12 running backs had 1,000-plus yards last season, and it would have been 14 if Hyde and Gordon had played a full 16, because they almost broke 1,000. They were, like, in the upper 900s.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, would have been 14 last season.
That really is a stat.
Yeah, that must be the stat that is strange, like, of all stats, you know? That's crazy.
You know what I think is crazy? That more running backs don't do this. Because if you look at what it takes on a per-game basis, it's only averaging 62.5 yards per game. That's
right.
It. 63 rushing yards. It does not sound like very much. Like, I feel like there should be a lot more 1,000-plus yard rushers.
the coaches aren't giving them, you know, the work. They have situational guys, and a lot of coaches are emulating their games based off of the greater coaches, Belichick's, you know, and they don't typically have that workhorse guy, you know, and there's not many teams that make it to the Super Bowl or, you know, or just win championships every year, I feel like, with the workhorse guy. So maybe that's something that's over a little bit overrated.
Well, let me look this up about wide receivers. Wide receivers finishing with over 1,000 yards, and I'm looking at rushing yards. I don't think any of them did that. Oh, significantly more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 with more than 1,000.
Wow.
I hope that's not one of the stranger stats that I had.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense.
Because you got so many teams that have to depend on the passing game. That's why the running back stat kind of surprises me.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, certainly 9. Question number 4. This running back finished with the 6th most receiving yards among running backs, 6th most receiving, and only played 10 games.
Leonard Fournette?
Only played 10 games.
Only played 10 games.
6th most receiving yards, only played 10 games.
Chris Thompson?
Mike, what about you?
I said Fournette.
Well, the 10 games wasn't a hint that it's probably not Fournette.
Injured. I thought he was out for like 6 games this year.
Did he miss 6? Okay, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It's not Fournette. He only missed 3.
It's not Fournette. He only missed 3 games?
Yes, I believe that's... There were only 3 games where he had 0 carries. We'll put it that way.
Then I'd have to go with Chris Thompson as well.
It is Chris Thompson, and I'm giving the point to Hoos because he said it first.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a tough one, too.
All right, 1 point for Hoos. Yeah, that was a good one. One last running back question here. These 2 backup running backs, and when I say backup, I mean backups on their team, had the same number of receptions as Kareem Hunt on 8 more targets.
Say that one more time.
These 2 backup running backs had the same number of receptions as Kareem Hunt on 8 more targets than Kareem Hunt had.
Backup running back.
Well, I mean, Kamara probably is considered a backup, right?
I was going to guess Kamara and Eckler, but I feel like Kamara has more.
I'm going to say Kamara and Eckler. I think that's correct.
You're just going to take Hoos's answer every time? If it's Kamara and Eckler, you're not getting the point for this one either, Mike.
Well, he said he wants to.
I'm just thinking, I don't know who else it could be. Yeah, Kamara and Eckler. I don't know.
It was Theo Riddick and Tariq Cohen, both with 53 catches on 71 targets.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. 53 catches
and
71 targets.
Me and Hoos are more of the feel type of football guys, not the stat guys.
Yeah, maybe we need to flip this around and I can sit in your seat.
There you go. Yeah, you know what I do when I need stats, Chris? I call you.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm sick of it. It's the offseason.
It's just starting.
All right. Well, after the questions for running backs, the first 5 questions, it's Hoos 1, Mike 0.
Ouch.
It's the WNBA version of Stranger Stats.
come on.
Like that. All right. You guys ready to move into wide receivers?
Yes.
Question number 6. This wide receiver 1 had 9 games with at least 7 catches.
DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins and Hoos.
What'd you say it was?
Wide receiver 1, 9 games with at least 7 catches.
I want to guess 2 guesses.
So do I. I have 2 guesses for this one, too. It's funny.
I've got Larry Fitzgerald and Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen was my 2nd guess, too.
It is DeAndre Hopkins.
Woo. Oh, wow. Nice.
Yep. Great, great, great season. He had in PPR double-digit points in every game that he played because he didn't play Week 17, but one in which he had 9.9. So basically double-digit points every single week.
Yeah, he did. That's amazing.
Huge. That's huge. I figured I'd throw you a softball in here. All right, so Mike, 1 point. Tie game. Oh, woo-hoo! Man, this is...
Time to run away with it.
Yeah, I'm shaking over here.
2-1. Slow down.
Don't call it a comeback. Question number 7. This pair of teammates both finished as wide receiver ones in PPR.
Diggs and Thielen?
No, Diggs was a wide receiver two.
So I had Diggs and Thielen for Mike.
But they both finished as wide receiver ones.
Yep. PPR scoring, they both finished as wide receiver ones.
That's tough. I don't know. I'm blanking right now.
No guesses? You can forfeit this if you want.
I don't know. I can't think of two guys. I mean, I'm gonna just throw out one guy, and it's not gonna be right. I can't think of it right now. Yeah, I'm forfeiting.
Right. Well, who's your one guy?
I don't know. Oh, Michael Thomas. I mean, it's not.
Then pick his teammate.
It's not Ginn, you know. So I don't know. It's not
both incorrect.
Yeah.
Thielen was a wide receiver one. Diggs was a wide receiver two. It was Marvin Jones and Golden Tate finishing as 11 and 12.
Wow. I feel like I should have known that one. That's the first one that I feel bad that I didn't get.
11 and 12. Marvin Jones, 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. Golden Tate, 92 catches, 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. So great seasons from both guys.
Wow. If you have both of those guys on your team, like you were not mad.
Not at all. And I loved Golden Tate coming into this season. I was very happy with what I got.
Every year. Yeah, every year. Him, Jarvis Landry, those guys you could just count on every year.
He did put up some duds in there.
Yeah.
Bunch of 6-point games, but he won you weeks.
No, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, question number 8. Two wide receivers finished with double-digit touchdowns. Who are they? And since there's two of them, I'll let both of you – it's not whoever answers first. Two wide receivers with double-digit touchdowns.
Diggs and Thielen again for me. I feel like they had double digits.
No. They I think they both had where it's probably single digits. Two wide receivers with double digit touchdowns. I mean Hopkins are they on the
same? Oh, it is. It's Hopkins.
No, they
and
do
Fuller.
Not have they
Hopkins
they are not on
Fuller.
The same team.
Oh, they're not on the same team.
They're not on the same team.
Or not necessarily Hopkins. On the same team. I'll put it that way. I did not specify same team or no.
So, Hopkins and Michael Thomas.
I'm going to say Hopkins and who else score? And Fuller. Fuller had double digits, didn't he?
Fuller had 7.
Yeah, I think he had 7. Yeah.
7, yep. It was DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams. Ooh. 13 and 10.
Devontae Adams, wow. What a
season. I'll give you each a point.
Yeah, 2-2. Out of 14.
Yeah, well, you know, not the most exciting one, but hey, whoever doesn't finish last, right? That's what we're going for. Not trying to win, I'm trying not to lose.
There you go.
Question number 9. This wide receiver finished in the top 5 in catches, but failed to break 1,000 yards.
Michael Thomas.
Top 5 in catches, but failed to break 1,000 yards. I want to say Landry, but I feel like he ended up getting it.
Landry broke 1,000 this year.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is that Michael Thomas for Mike?
Yeah.
No, definitely. Diggs.
Michael Thomas and Diggs, neither guy. Diggs wasn't actually even close to top 5 in catches.
I don't know why I said Diggs.
I don't know why he said. I think he just have a...
I think it was
have him in your heart tonight. He only had 64 catches. It was Jarvis Landry.
Oh, wow. He almost had it.
112 catches.
He threw me off.
987 yards on 112 catches.
Wow.
Damn you, dirty jobs. Threw me off.
That's what
Michael Thomas had 1,245. So he was well over 1,000.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Man, he was touchdown. He was bad on touchdowns this year. That's right.
Yeah, he only had 5 compared to what he did last season, which was it 9 last season?
Yes.
As a rookie? Yeah. Jarvis Landry also set a career high in touchdowns with 9. I think his previous high was 6 and finished as the wide receiver 5 this season in PPR. So suck on that, Nick.
Yeah. Bunch of teams too. So that's what made me initially say Jarvis Landry. But I just felt like he had more than 1,000 yards. It just felt like he had more than 1,000
yards. Man, he was so good. Only two games under double-digit points. One of them was when it mattered in Week 16. But, man, just such a great season.
While we're on the subject, congrats, Nick, and the new addition to the Sleeper Wire family. Nick had himself a little boy.
Yes. Yeah. So. Little Christopher Hussein Summerall.
Dirty Christopher Hussein Dirty. Summerall.
I like that. Four names. That's good.
He's going to have a rock star legendary name, right?
Right, right.
Happy birthday, Owen. Happy birthday, Owen.
Yes, absolutely. Question number 10. Six wide receivers had a first-round ADP in 12-team PPR leagues this season. Six wide receivers, first-round ADP in PPR. Who of them did not finish as a wide receiver one?
Evans.
Say that one more time.
Six wide receivers had a first-round ADP in 12-team leagues. Who did not finish as a wide receiver one? And there are two guys.
I was going to say there's – I thought there would be two. I would say it's Mike Evans and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I was going to say Mike Evans and Jordy as well if I had to guess the second guy.
I will give you both a point for that one. It is Mike Evans, the wide receiver 17, and Jordy Nelson, the wide receiver 46.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had an injury. And then
it was rough.
Even when he got back healthy, he didn't look the same. And then the quarterback connection wasn't there.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, and A.J. Green all finished as wide receiver ones. It does not feel like A.J. Green did.
No.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
It doesn't. He did, but it doesn't feel like it.
He was worse than Julio.
Yeah, he was. He certainly was. All right, so 3-3 through 10 questions. All right, moving on. Let's take it to quarterbacks. This QB1 broke 4,000 passing yards for the first time in his career and also set a personal best for touchdowns, 20-yard plays, and 40-yard plays.
Case Keenum?
Alex Smith. And who's takes the commanding lead? 4-3. Alex Smith, yeah, 4,000 yards for the first time. Personal best for touchdowns. I think he had 26, if I'm not mistaken, and the previous high was 23. So, I mean, that's not elite, but that's elite for Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And that Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt definitely had a huge impact on those 20-plus yard plays and 40-plus yard plays.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, those guys are just massive weapons. Somebody's going to get really lucky when they go to Kansas City.
Yep, certainly.
If it's not Patrick Mahomes. I think he takes a little while to develop. But
yeah, but I think this is a good sign that they're going to give him the reins.
Yeah, very true. I mean, we'll see what happens in the draft. But
it's your job, Patty. All right, so 4-3. Question number 12. A year after leading the league in interceptions, this quarterback won only through 10 this season.
Said one only through, I'm sorry?
A year after leading the league in interceptions, this QB won only through 10 picks this year.
Phillip Rivers?
Cutler? I don't know. Cutler?
Well, Cutler didn't play last year, did he?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it is not Cutler. I can understand why you would think that even the NFL without Cutler, Cutler would still lead the league in interceptions.
Yeah, but easy to think of. I'm going to say.
Well, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and stop you and say Mike has tied you. It was Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
21 picks back in 2016. That's an outlier for Rivers, certainly. Right. And when you don't have Keenan Allen and you're throwing to Dontrell Inman, I mean.
Hey, that's my other guy.
Yeah, you know what? He's not good.
Well, he's buried. I mean, what do you want? He's buried. Well, not anymore. Now he's on the Bears now.
Yeah. He became a wide receiver one.
He did, actually. So take that.
You think he's the wide receiver one over Kendall Wright?
I do.
I don't.
I think anybody's the wide receiver one over Kendall Wright. I'm not too sure. I'm not the wide receiver one over Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright when he's healthy, is better than Dontrell Inman.
Yeah, he's the Jordan Reed of wide receivers.
Right.
Could be.
Except he's when a touchdown Jordan Reed's on the field, he produces.
Right.
Well, when he's healthy and on the field.
Yes.
Big difference. All right, let's take this to tight ends. We got two questions left, 4-4. Real burner here. This tight end one had 7 games with 2 or fewer catches. Tight end one, 7 games with 2 or fewer catches.
Rob Gronkowski.
I'm going to say Cameron.
Sorry, who said I didn't mean to cut you off?
Cameron Brate.
Ding, ding, ding. Cameron Brate finishes the tight end 10, 2 games with 2 catches, 5 games with 1 catch. Oh,
yeah, that was my boy, man. That was my guy, man. Me and you. Cameron Brate.
Really, me and you, man. We were talking him up, drafting him in every single mock that we did. And
yep.
I mean, you still got a tight end 1 out of him, and he probably, you know, where he was drafted was probably about the 10th tight end, wasn't he?
Probably even later, and
probably around there. Maybe even later after O.J. Howard started. He showed a couple flashes in preseason.
Exactly. Some people were like, "Oh, O.J. Howard's going to be the guy." And I mean, Brate was just great. Brate was great. He had touchdowns.
Absolutely.
He just scored a touchdown. And so when he came back, I guess when I feel like Winston wasn't really there, Brate still wasn't really there. And, you know, when he came back, he wasn't really the same. But he, like you said, he still ended up a tight end one. That's, you know, so.
Yeah, that just goes to reinforce what I was saying about how valuable it's going to be for me personally to not have to stream tight ends.
To be
fair.
But
still, look how that worked for you. You know,
yeah, that's 7 games where he completely shit the bed for you. Yeah, he was a tight end one, but that's half the fantasy regular
season. But those other games, you weren't starting him, though, at that point. You knew not to start him. Like, I didn't start him those 7 games.
Right.
I started one or two of those games.
Which is why it's a surprise and strange that he finished as a tight end one.
Yeah.
To be fair, I heard that question wrong. I thought you said 2 games for some reason. I know you said 7, but my brain registered
7 games, with 2 or fewer games.
Yeah, I know. 2 or fewer catches.
Yes, I know.
And I was like, I think that's Gronk. He had a couple real bad games where he was out there.
I thought you were right.
It is 5-4. Now, going into our last question. So, Mike, you got to get it right to send it to a tiebreaker.
There you go.
This tight end one had, so there's a few numbers in here, so pay attention. Tight end one had 27 fewer catches and 308 fewer receiving yards this season, but more touchdowns than 2016, a year after finishing in the top 3 tight ends.
Travis Kelce.
Delanie Walker.
Neither.
Oh.
I'll give you both. Yes.
Hmm. It's gonna be a weird one.
It is a strange stat.
I mean, think who finished as a top 3 tight end in 2016?
Kyle Rudolph.
That's a big clue.
Kyle Rudolph.
Finished as the number 2 in 2016. 27 fewer catches and 308 fewer receiving yards, but more touchdowns. He did not finish as the tight end 2 this year, which was kind of a disappointment.
Yeah, he was.
He was I wasn't very high on him,
you know, but yeah, actually he came on in the second half a little bit more for you.
It was more like his, I'm looking at it right now, the weeks 5 through 13 were okay. 14, 15, and 16 were 3 catches, 2 catches, 1 catch. Ooh. So if you started him in your championship, it was 1 catch for 6 yards, not a touchdown.
Yeah,
it was a rough season, 57 for 532, but he still finished as the tight end 8. That's how bad this damn position was.
Yeah, that's a big testament to exactly that. Yep. What a bad year it was for the tight end.
Absolutely. All right, so it is 5-5. I'm hoping that this was going to happen. So
I had a tiebreaker ready because I'm the professor.
I did have a tiebreaker ready.
Awesome.
And we're going to play this one closest to the pin, okay?
Okay.
Either over or under. It's not stupid Price is Right rules where you can't go over. $1, Professor. Nothing like that. Where did Benjamin Watson finish? The tight end what?
I'm gonna say 17.
That's funny because I was gonna say 17. I want to say then.
I've had him on my championship team too. He had 9 points.
So we got 17 from Hoos and 15 from Dirty Jobs, right?
Right.
Benjamin Watson was the tight end 11.
Ooh. Ooh. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very shocking stat.
Much like Diggs catching the immaculate catch, Dirty Jobs right. comes back and wins it all.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, who said 17? So this was the game of high or low, and you just played the numbers on that one. Yeah, the tight end 11, which was very – that might have been the strangest stat that
yeah,
I saw as
of
I was
the
going
whole entire
this.
Night. Yep, I yeah. think so too. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I still think that that running back stat was the most surprising for me.
As many as
the 1,000-plus yards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. 9 would have been 8 or would have been 10 with Zeke, who was it 987? Is that what I said?
Yeah,
987.
Yep.
And then the year before, you said with almost 14. That was surprising as well.
Oh, 983 with 7 touchdowns. That's what it was. Yeah, would have been 14 if Hyde and Gordon played the full year. But yeah, still 12. That's a good number. All right. So looks like Mike, you are the champion of this week's Stranger Stats. How do you feel?
I actually feel real good, Chris. You know, I'd like. There's a lot of people I'd like to thank for this victory.
I was just about to ask if you wanted to thank anybody. So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and kick Hoos off the call here, and you just thank away.
No, I'm just kidding, man. As always, Hoos, a grinding competitor. Neither him or I are probably the best stat guys. Like I said, me and him are more of your right. heart and feel type guys. Like we tell you who you want to pick up in 3 weeks. We're those kind of guys.
Jake Seeley would have destroyed you guys.
Jake Seeley would have destroyed us. You could probably throw a rock in an empty hallway and hit people that would have destroyed us. But
yeah, that's true.
Fun show though. Great, great. Great
it
show.
Is. That's why they're strange stats though. They're not easy questions.
Yeah, it's a fun segment.
Dirty Jobs.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's Sleeper Wire show. Thanks for joining me. You can find us on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show. Mike is on there at Dr. Kane 21. Hoos is on there at Prophet Hoos, if I'm not mistaken.
Sleeper Wire Hoos.
Sleeper Wire Hoos, that's right. And I am on there at Seymour Sleeper Wire. And then you can also find us on the Sleeperbot app. Dr. Kane 21 is now Dirty Jobs. I'm sorry. My Dirty Jobs, Prophet Hoos, and Professor Chris there as well. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.